Chapter 10. Trouble. We drag the wounded on litters, carrying them over the roughest terrain. Mika sets a brutal pace that I fear will be too much for the weakest of our group, but there is no choice. Selin left hours before dawn, running with full weapons and armor. Even if she encountered no demons, it was 20 miles to Pump Forge along unfamiliar ways with only her helm's wardsight to navigate. If she made it, help is surely on the way. If not, no pace Mika sets can cover the distance before sunset without abandoning the wounded. What would Mother do, if faced with such a choice? Abandon her charges to save those she could, or stay to protect them, with the likeliest outcome their collective destruction? I don't need to wonder. The history books are filled with the answer. Mother never left her patients. My resolve tightens, and I nod to myself. Neither will I. If we don't make it back before nightfall, and the demons come, they'll need to kill me before they reach the others. The chance to fight and die is more than I deserve. I brought this on everyone. The dead, the wounded, the terrified and grieving. All my fault. Because I was stubborn. Because I thought I knew better than Mother and broke her trust. And Mika's. And Wanda's. Maybe it's better to die on calling talons than face them after what I've done. But it isn't meant to be. We crest a rise and see Captain Wanda and the Hollow Lancers galloping our way, followed by the royal carriage and wagons from Pump Forge. Selin, out of her armour and looking like herself again, rides behind Wanda on her massive Angerian Mustang. The sight of them is such a relief I sob as Lana and the others give a cheer. She moves to embrace me, but I step away, not wanting to be held, not deserving it. I poisoned Captain Wanda, and she is going to be furious. Indeed, we can hear her shouting long before the words are clear, giving orders to her men and urging them to even greater speed.
Olive!
Wanda cries as they draw close.
Olive?
Lana wonders out loud. I look at her a little too sharply, and she tilts her head at me. I'm saved from that look, as Wanda gallops right up to me before reining in. She leaps nimbly from the horse's back and comes at me in a rush. I flinch, expecting a blow and knowing I have it coming. But Wanda throws her arms around me in a crushing embrace.
Night, Olive! Thought we lost you!
She shudders, and I realize she's weeping. I didn't think that was possible.
Gonna be all right now, I promise.
The soldiers quickly load the wounded and usher the others into the wagons. Wanda holds the door to Mother's armoured carriage, and I have a feeling that, once it closes, I'll never see Lana and the others again. I turn and see Lana has come to the same conclusion. She comes over, and I stiffen, but she only smiles. I kissed Princess Olive. Guess it was my lucky day. I blink. You're not upset? She surprises me by leaning in and kissing me again. As before, her mouth is soft, but there is a hunger to it. You saved my life. You can have all the kisses you want. Wanda coughs, but she averts her gaze, saying nothing. Through the carriage window, Selin looks like she's cheering. Take it off, Lana says.
What?
The helmet, she clarifies. Take it off. She deserves that much. I lift the wooden helm, suddenly conscious of my sweat-matted hair and dirty face. Not exactly how you imagined the Princess of Hollow, is it? I ask. Lana's smile widens. It's better. She spreads her skirts and dips into a curtsy, then turns and takes her place in the last wagon. The Duchess receives us in the small audience hall, the room Mother uses when she wants to privately intimidate visiting dignitaries. The raised dais for her throne means that, sitting or standing, she is always looking down at supplicants. She has her warded spectacles on, and blackout curtains are drawn over the windows. She is reading my aura even now, and Creator only knows what it is telling her. She isn't alone on the dais. General Garrod stands behind her right hand, arms crossed, his scowl flushed red as he glares at Selin. No matter what trouble she's gotten into, I've never seen the General angry at his daughter, but he is angry now. I wilt under the scrutiny, missing the anonymity of my wooden helm and armor on the tour, but the price was too high. "What in the core were you thinking?" the Duchess demands. "It was my idea." Selin is ready, as always, to put herself between me and danger. Mother turns a cold glare her way, and I know that this time I cannot allow it. "No," I blurt before Mother can speak. "Selin aided me, but it was my decision. I was the one who brewed the potion and put it in Wanda and Mika's tea." Mother's lips draw into a hard line as she returns her glare to me. I shrink back in fear. But then Mika steps forward. She is back in the loose black robes and head wrap I have always known, obscuring the warrior hidden within. She kneels before the dais, placing her hands on the floor, eyes down, much as the kafit in the market. "The failure was mine, mistress," Mika says. "My spear was lowered to threats from within. I should have noticed the poison in the tea sooner. By the time I did, Wanda Var Flynn had drunk too much." "But you noticed it before Olive left?" Mother asks. Mika lowers her head further, touching her forehead to the floor. "Yes, mistress." "So you could have stopped her," Mother snaps. "You should have stopped her." Mika keeps her hands and eyes on the floor. Princess Olive barred her door from within. I could not prevent her from escaping without breaking my cover. Cover. The word is a stark reminder that Mika has been lying to me for my entire life, that my gentle nanny was always a living weapon. I knew she was Mother's eyes and ears in my life, but this is something out of an espionage novel. "I thought it better to follow," Mika continues. "Protect her if needed. Let you punish her later if not. There had not been a demon sighting on the tour in a decade. I decided it was best to let the princess assert herself." "Let." My hand curls into a fist. The one small taste of freedom in my life, and it was just another lie. A lie paid for in blood. If Mother was angry before, it was a gentle rain compared with the storm her face becomes. Her next words are snapped in crasion and sharper for it. "It is not for you to decide what is best for my daughter, Sharum Ting. It is for you to keep your oath and obey." "Yes, mistress." Mika presses her forehead to the floor. "You may punish me as you see fit." "I'm not interested in punishment, Mika," Mother snaps. "I'm interested in hearing why it won't happen again. But that is for a later conversation." Mika shudders ever so slightly, and a bit of sympathy returns. Mother's conversations are worse than any punishment. Mika rolls back to her heels and puts a fist to her heart. "Your will, mistress." Mother turns her withering gaze back upon me. "But none of this changes the fact that you lied to me, Olive. You poisoned Wanda. Knight, you could have killed her if you'd gotten the dosage wrong. And you would have done the same to Mika. You disobeyed a direct command and snuck off, putting your own life in danger." Every word is a lash that strikes harder, because I know they are true. What have these people ever done, save protect me? Now, 6 children are dead, Mother continues, and 7 more will carry injuries for the rest of their lives. I remember every wound as I assisted Mika's healing, every body we had to identify from savaged remains. I think of Giles and his circlet of flowers, Kayla and her fiddle, Tam, Oren, Bonnie, Alexis. I'm sorry, I don't want to hear it, Mother barks. Their blood is on your hands, Olive. It was. Literally. Though that isn't how Mother means it, with me scrubbed and powdered and back in a dress. She means it's my fault. My fault the demons struck. My fault my friends are dead. But is it? Mother is still shouting, but I'm no longer listening. I turn away, seeing Mika still kneeling on the floor, face covered by her veil. Olive Paper, you look at me when I... Mother's shriek cuts off as I turn back to her and stomp my foot down hard, shattering one of the floor tiles. Silence follows the crash, as Mother and I lock stares. I can feel the tears streaking my makeup, and they just make me angrier. Yes, I made a bad choice, but maybe I wouldn't have, if you hadn't kept me in a cage and fed me lies. Don't be ridiculous, Mother snaps. All I ever did was protect me, I finish, by putting a killer in my nursery and never telling me, by keeping me from ever seeing the lands and people I am meant to rule, by telling the world a lie and forcing me to live it. Hey, what's she talking about? General Garrett asks, when for once, Mother doesn't have a response ready. It's a secret, I say. Mother has them from everyone, it seems. Enough, Olive. I expect Mother to be angry. Part of me wants her to be angry, to force a confrontation. But instead, she massages her temple, sounding suddenly tired. You've made your point. Go to your chambers. You and Selen are confined there until I figure out what to do with you. I'll have meals sent up. She taps her spectacles. Try to sneak away again, and I'll know. She'll be using her magic to spy on me, she means, while I am locked away from the world. Nothing is different. Nothing will be different if I don't force a change. But suddenly, I am tired too. The nausea is subsiding now that I've vomited my anger up. I don't want to fight anymore. So I take the offered retreat, turning on my heel and striding out with my head high for once. Selen follows, but Mika remains kneeling on the floor. I catch one last exchange before the doors shut behind us. Report, Sharum Ting. There can be no doubt, Mistress, Mika says. The Alagai were hunting Princess Olive. It was easy not to think about them, when we were fighting for our lives, when Mika turned my world upside down, when we were marched home to the Duchess like criminals to the magistrate, when I could still feel Lana's kiss on my lips. But the Duchess was right about one thing. Their blood is on your hands. After long weeks, I am back in my rooms, the only place I've ever felt truly safe. My beautiful creations stand guard around the room, mannequins modelling fashion for various activities. They're meant to remind me that I can be anything, and on most days, it works. Today, all I can see are unmoving bodies, strewn around the room. People I had only just begun to think of as friends, torn apart because of me. because the demons came for me, and the folk of Apple Hill got in the way. I moved to the window, but it is no better. The trees in the garden remind me of wood demons stalking the camp, breaking bones and rending flesh. One lifted Alexis high in the air, so all could witness what it did to her. "Sweep it off," Selin gives me a shove. "Ain't your fault." The push is enough to send me off the bench if I am not quick. Catching my balance forces my mind back into the moment, and I grasp it like a lifeline, turning to face Selin. "How is it not my fault?" I demand. "You had permission to go on the tour, and I didn't. I went anyway, and now people are dead." "Demon shit," Selin snaps. "Could just be a pack of callings that found its way from the wilds and saw a target. Might have attacked us anyway." "Mika said they were hunting me," I say. Selin shrugs. "Maybe Mika doesn't know everything. Like you said, she ain't exactly been honest with us. I don't know who she is anymore." "There were dozens of tour groups," I remind her. "Why ours? Why lure Ella away first?" "It's thin, eh?" Selin admits. "But no one knew you were stepping off the ward until the moment it happened, and you covered 20 miles in daylight. If the demons were hunting you, how did they find us so quickly? It's just as likely they were going to attack a tour group this year, one way or another." The words make sense, but I know them for what they are. An excuse to retreat from blame, like I retreated from the audience chamber. To not take responsibility for what happened. I shake my head. Mother tried to warn me. She shouted it, but I wouldn't listen. If I just stayed at the inn. "It doesn't ripping matter, Olive," Selin snaps. "You didn't kill those people. Demons did." "Because I was stupid enough to step off the Great Ward," I say, and Selin throws up her hands. "Stupid is right," a voice cracks behind us. We turn as one to see Grandmum Ilona. "Course, Bornet," Selin growls. "Oh, you'll know what a trip to the core is like when your father and I are done with you, girl." Ilona points to the door. "He's waiting in the Goldwood room. Run along now. I'm going to have a word with Olive and join you after the shouting dies down." I've never known Selin to back away from a fight with her mother, but this time she puts her head down and hurries out of the room without a word. Ilona peeks in the hall to make sure she's gone, then closes the door behind her with a cackle. "That girl will glare at me through a hole switching, but tell her Dar's disappointed and she melts like fat on a skillet." Grandmum has a wide smile as she comes over to join me on the bench. I blink in surprise. "You're not mad?" "Course I ain't mad," Grandmum laughs. "Kinda proud, I'm to tell honest word. About time you two showed some spine. And dressing up as boys to get around your mam." She slaps her knee. "Expect it was a good look on Selin. Girl never was at home in a dress." Grandmum shakes her head. "Always expected Selin to be the filly, and you to be the stallion. But it turned out the other way round." But, I'm stunned, and strangely proud to have won Grandmum's approval, but it feels undeserved. "I poisoned Wanda." "Fa!" Ilona waves an imaginary smell from the air. "Wanda Cutter needed to be taken down a notch. Strong as a tree, but with a head full of wood. Been entirely too proud of herself since the war, but all she's ever really done is break bones for your mum." I've never seen Wanda fight outside the practice yard, but I know how loyal she is. If Mother ordered her to break a bone, I have no doubt she would do it and sleep well, never feeling a need to ask why. It's hard to imagine Mother ordering anyone's bones broken, but after learning about Mika, I'm coming to realize I don't know anyone as well as I think. I cast about for answers to satisfy my own question. "I broke the rules, and now people are dead." Grandmum reaches out and puts her hand over mine, squeezing gently. Rules are like the privy girl. They keep us feeling civilized, but they get too full of shit if you don't empty the pot now and again. The only rules your mum followed in her whole coarse-born life were ones she meant to follow anyway. Creator knows I'm no better. Paper women make their own rules. Then why did you yell at Selen? I ask.
Ha!
Elona waves again. She's a cutter through and through. Wouldn't believe she was mine. I hadn't squeezed her out myself. And for once, her doting da really is disappointed. I'd be an ill mum if I deprived her of that life lesson.
So I'm not in trouble? I ask.
Elona's bark of laughter startles me.
Course you're in trouble! Whole mess of it. Lay odds your mum ain't had a real visit to the privy in days. She'll take it out on anyone dumb enough to cross her before her bowels unclench.
She kicks her feet out, making a show of putting her hands behind her head.
Best part is, I don't need to do a coarse-born thing. Just sit back and let Garrod and Leisha handle all the punishments.
You're enjoying this, I accuse. Grandmum shrugs.
Ain't my backside.
Getting in trouble is part of growing up, girl. But punishments end, and I'll wager your mum will show you a bit more respect on the other side. She's angrier at herself than you right now.
Impossible, I say. Mother's always right, isn't she?
Not this time, Elona says.
She should have prepared you better, and she, coarse-borned, knows it. Even I warned her.
Gonna enjoy saying I told you so.
Prepared me for what? I ask. Are you saying it's true?
The Corlings are hunting me.
Why?
And some great mystery, Olive, Grandmum says.
Your parents did as much to hurt the Corsborn as anyone alive. Don't need to hunt far for reasons why demons would want to hurt back.
The matter-of-fact way she says it hits hard.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
I'm supposed to make you feel better, Grandmum chuckles. Guess I missed the messenger on that.
I'm not the one to tell you what you want to hear. I'm the one you can trust to tell you what you need to hear.
She's relaxed and laughing, but still the words send a chill through me.
And what do I need to hear?
That the time for secrets is over, Elona says. Half the duchy saw you running around dressed as a boy, kissing hayseed girls.
Half the duchy, I sputter. There were barely a dozen.
Each of them will tell a dozen more, Elona cuts in, and those will all be bursting to tell another 12.
Trust me when I tell you, gossip runs faster than a horse at gallop.
And from that they'll guess Princess Olive has... I trail off.
A pecker? Elona laughs. Course not.
But it puts their heads in the right space to hear it, and a couple summers to chew on it before you need to start thinking about getting promised.
I had feared Grandmum would blame me for the ones who died on Tor, but this is almost worse.
Elona still has her feet up, but I've never felt so afraid.
I can't do that.
Ain't gonna be easy, Elona says. Your mum wasn't such a coward. She'd have done it long since.
Sorry to say, it's on you now.
Why? I demand. Why is it anyone's business what I've got under my skirt?
Because it's a ticking clock, Elona says.
Even if you never sprout a hair on your chin or an apple in your throat, what will you do on your wedding night?
She's right, of course. Grandmum has a way of knowing what a person is most afraid of and shaking it in their face.
I clench my eyes, but it's too late. The tears are already falling.
Eh, now, don't go ruining your powder.
Grandmum is on her feet quick as a cat, whisking a silk kerchief from somewhere in her bodice to dab at the droplets before they can streak my face.
Didn't mean it ill. Just mean you're carrying a weight you don't need. Old hag I worked for used to say, let others determine your worth, and you've already lost.
because no one wants people worth more than themselves.
Easy for you to say, I tell her.
Had more than my share of scandals over the years, girl, Ilona says. All us paper women do. You were a scandal before you were even born. Your mum was courting the Prince of Angiers while carrying the Demon of the Desert's baby in her belly. Does it look like it cost her any power when folk found out? I shake my head. I don't care. I'm not you and I'm not mother. I can't just...
You're scared.
I get it, Grandmum says. But you need to ask yourself if what you're scared of is worse than what you've already got.
What do you mean? I ask.
That tight bido can't be comfortable, girl, Ilona says. When a scandal's hidden, it eats you from the inside, trying to keep it that way. Once it's out, it ain't your problem anymore. It's everyone else's.
She presses the kerchief into my hand.
Dry those eyes before they get all puffy.
She turns, gliding for the door. I've given Selin enough of a head start. Gar should be yelling by now, and I don't want to miss that.
She pauses, looking back. Don't you go telling that girl I'm proud of her.
Of course, Grandmum. I loop an imaginary button on my lip. Ilona winks at me and is gone, leaving me alone for the first time in weeks. I go to the door and lock it. Then I sink to the floor with my back to it, at last letting all the sadness and anger and pain come rushing out with no thought to my paints and powder.